Please look with me at Matthew chapter 14. Hold your place there. And also go ahead and mark, put a place there in the book of Mark chapter 6. So you mark, hold your place there in Matthew, and then also indicate right there, Mark chapter 6, and you can mark verses 45 through 52. And then once you find there, go ahead and place your marker there at Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, and then go over to the book of John. Go over to the book of John. And chapter 6. You just keep flipping over to the right. John chapter 6. And you can place your mark there at verses 16 through 21. So these are parallel passages. The Gospel of Luke does not give this this account of this particular storm that we see God is going to bring in the disciples' lives once again. But we do find it in Matthew, Mark, and John. Okay, so you just have those places because we may flip to them quickly. I just wanted to go ahead and get you to them. But our main passage we'll be looking at is in Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 20, because we want to understand the full context of where they're coming from when God is going to lead them into a storm. Notice with me Matthew chapter 14, verse number 20. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So before I continue reading, remember the context here. Jesus Christ, through the miracle of the two fishes and five loaves, has fed nearly 8,000, approximately 8,000 people, once you add children and the women there and the children. And what a tremendous eye-opening miracle this was to the disciples and to all those that were there present, in fact. And it's very interesting for us to note of what happens immediately following this great miracle. In fact, you should underline in your Bibles verse 22, because this next phrase that says, and straightway, means and immediately. Immediately following this miracle, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then, verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, Weathering the Storms of Life. Weathering the Storms of Life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are bowing before you, thanking you for being the faithful Almighty God. Lord, you are real. You are truth. We reverence you, oh God, as we look to your word, we're asking you to speak, Lord, for thy servants are hearing you. We're listening. And I pray that you would bring comfort today. I pray that you'd bring strength. I pray that you would bring, Lord God, encouragement. I pray, Father God, that you would even bring correction and rebuke if needed. Almighty God, we look to you because we are frail people. We are your children, we are your servants, and Lord, we go through times of life, and God, we're just asking you to help us to gain strength, especially in the storms, especially in those times, Lord, where we want to give up. Oh God, please, I ask you today, help your people. And Father, if there be one here with us that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would too understand that there is no help at all apart from Jesus Christ as being Savior. So, Lord, we commit these things to you and ask that you would guide and, Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Weathering the storms of life. How many of you here have actually been out at sea when there was a significant storm? How many of you? It's a good many of you. That's a pretty scary place, but pretty fearful place. And this account does definitely give us a perfect picture of what some of the emotions are when someone gets caught out in the storm. You know, with the Lord's help, I want to preach a message just simply trying to get us to trust the Lord Jesus even when times seem hopeless. Lord, helping us to trust Him, even when it seems like all around us is taking over. And the outside elements, if you will, are keeping us from accomplishing the will of God. You know, I, being in the Coast Guard, was in some storms, but usually, you know, it wasn't too bad. At least from what I experienced, we were in some pretty, I would say, pretty big storms with waves getting up to 20 feet to 25 feet swells. Those are pretty big waves, and I can remember those and recall those. But I don't know that I recall ever being in a storm where I felt my life was in danger. However, I was in a storm one time on a boat where I felt like my life was in danger. My wife's over here smiling because she knows where I'm going with this. Just last year, in fact, I remember it was my 39th birthday, on July 2nd, there. And we were on Lake Jocassee, a beautiful lake up in the mountains of South Carolina, one of my favorite places in the world to go to. And, we were there. And the one thing about Lake Jocassee, it's a mountain lake, so it's surrounded by the Nantahala National Forest and Sumter National Forest. But it's just gorgeous. But one thing about it is storms come up on this mountain lake out of nowhere. They come up quickly. It can be a bright, sunshiny day, and you can be out there having a great time. Then within 10 minutes, the sky turns dark, and you can see those clouds rolling across the water. You can sometimes see it from a distance, but it comes up quickly. Well, this particular day, we were coming toward the end of our day out there on our boat. It's about a 19-foot inboard, outboard ebb tide. For those of you that care anything about boats, it's just a pleasure craft, really. It's a 7-person boat. Not a real big boat, okay? But we're out there on that, and we got the kids, Joanna and me and the kids, and we're out there having a good time, and then we start seeing the cloud turn a different color. And of course, my wife, being the wise one of the group and the cautious one, saying we might want to start closing out the day. And I'm thinking, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Once we start hearing thunder, I said, we'll start moving along, okay? Well, I think we started hearing thunder, and I said, well, honey, that's really a long ways away, you know. And, I think we're okay. But nevertheless, it got closer and closer. I was like, okay, we gotta go. Well, it was too late. Even though I was going full speed, and we were trying to book it, the waves were getting bigger, and I was trying to book it to the boat ramp. We were only probably, we had about, I'd say about maybe 5 minutes left on the trip before we got to the boat ramp, and we would have made it safely. But I tell you, I have no idea. I'll tell you why here in just a minute of what happened. But just right there in the middle of that storm coming up on us, and we are ahead of it, just a couple minutes ahead of it, the boat stops. The boat stops. Oh, I'm like, oh no, oh no. Don't panic. Please don't panic. I'm panicking. Kids, don't panic. Don't panic. We're okay. Everything's going to be all right. You're trying to be the dad that's tough and strong and being keeping everybody calm. We're going to be okay. Well, the wind's getting harder. The waves are getting bigger. The sky's getting darker. And dad's starting to have a little stutter in his voice. It's going to be okay, kids. It's going to be okay. And of course, they're just looking and whatnot. And it gets real scary, folks. And my boat is not working. Open the engine there and open up back there. Can't see anything, nothing particular. And I can't figure out what's wrong, but it will not go. It sounds like it wants to turn over and it's wanting to go. And I want to tell you, at this point, I'm looking around and there are no boats in sight. Not one. They all were listening to their wives and they got off the lake and I didn't. Okay. So At that point, I'm looking around and there are no boats. And so what I see is it's starting to rain now. And of course, I got my three little kids there and Joanna, and we're thinking, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm starting to pray. I really am. It's amazing how fast you can get spiritual, folks. I'm here to tell you, and start your prayer life real quick. Okay. And so I started praying and thinking and what was going to do. And I looked over at the shore and I noticed that, the direction the wind was blowing us towards was just full of rocks. Just a wall of rocks and whatnot. That's exactly what we were going towards. And I'm not making this stuff up, folks. If you don't believe me, ask my wife, but I'm thinking at that point, all right, I'm going to anchor out. But just 30 minutes before that time, I lost my anchor. We were at another waterfall or something and just because of being careless, I lost my anchor, being out there. And so I'm like, oh my. What am I going to do now? We're getting blown. I can't put my anchor out, which would have been the next best thing to do. And so things are getting tough. Nobody's in sight. We're praying. And I'll tell you the rest of the story at the end of the message. But nevertheless, it was scary. And these disciples here on this water are scared, okay? There's some facts about the storms of life that I want to share with you this morning that I hope will be an encouragement to you. One of the things that we must first realize is that the storms of life are inevitable. We're going to face storms, folks. You go anywhere in the world, you're going to find storms. I mean, I'm serious. I've been through some pretty big storms here in South Carolina and Georgia and the U.S. I've been through some pretty big storms and seen some, but I have never in my life been through storms like I've been through in the Sahara Desert. They're all over the world. You go up to Antarctica and you watch these documentaries and these crazy storms that come on all parts of the globe. And I want to tell you, spiritually speaking, with the spiritual application, folks, we will not avoid the storms of life. The best thing we can do as God's people is to prepare for them and to be faithful through them. And I'm telling you, we will be better because of it. And we're going to see here, I do believe, what God is teaching us through this particular storm with the disciples. One of the first facts about the storms of life I want to see is, number one, they're planned. They're planned. If you're taking notes, they are planned. You say, now, what do you mean by that? Well, notice what Jesus said, excuse me, in verse 22. It says right after this miracle took place of the feeding of the 5,000 plus, notice what Jesus says. He constrained the disciples. That means he commanded them. He said, get to the ship and go over to the other side. So Jesus, being God himself, God in the flesh, deity, he knows what's happening. This is all part of his plan. He's got a trial, a storm planned for these disciples. And he commands them to do that. And I want to tell you, God's got storms planned for us. He's got storms planned for us, not to torture us and not to make our lives miserable. He's got storms to teach us some things about himself. And when we look to the Word of God, we're going to see how he does that. And you say, sometimes you say, well, Pastor, you say he plans storms. What about some of these things that are happening in life that you say God's planning those things? Well, if God does not plan them, I will tell you what he does do. He does permit them. We know of the planned will of God, and we also know of what the Word of God, we understand clearly in theology, meaning the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God. And so there are some things in life where we make really dumb decisions and really dumb choices, and God will bring a storm in our life because of that. But I want to tell you here, it's never to destroy us. It's always to build us up. Remember that. In your mind and your thinking, you have to remember this about God. God's plan is never, ever, ever to destroy you. His plan is always, whatever the correction or the storms may be, his plan is to instruct you and to build you up. Now, on the other hand, Satan, he is the destroyer. That's his Bible name. Well, one of them. He will bring things into your life to absolutely destroy you, but never God. God may bring things into our lives that because of our choices, but he is always going to use those things to build us up. I think of our dear sister that came here and gave a testimony, I think it was probably a month ago now, from the Pregnancy Resource Center. And she came and gave testimony, and she made the decision to have a couple, two abortions when she was in her 20s, I believe, or late teens, and was not living for the Lord at that time. And she regretted that later on in life, and she gave her life to the Lord. And you know what, though? That was some wrong decisions that she made. But you know what God did in her life? God reached her, found her where she was, gave her a heart transformation, and through that she went through a very difficult time of dealing with that decision. But God has given her healing, and now she's an advocate for life. She is pro-life, and she is speaking on behalf of children and mothers, and God is using her, and that's an example of perhaps what was a bad decision, but God turns it around and uses it for good. But in this case, this is a plan. This is not the disciples being punished. This is just a test to encourage their faith. And folks, sometimes we get the wrong idea about storms. Just because you're going through a difficult time, you get the idea that, man, I'm being punished. So that's not necessarily the truth. It could be a time where God is wanting to teach you some things about himself. And so we see, number one, that it was planned. Jesus told them to get into the ship and go. Some other facts about storms is they are frightening. They are very frightening. In fact, you get out there on the water and the sea has a way of making you feel really tiny. Okay? Really small. And the waves were being tossed and tossing the boat here and there, and the wind is picking up and going against them, and you know, it was a frightening time for them. It was another thing about storms, a fact about storms, is they can be really lonely. You've gone through a storm before, and I believe everyone here has. And let me just say this. If you're not going through a storm right now, I encourage you just to praise the Lord. And I don't mean that condescending in any way, folks, because the truth is, I'm thankful that God does just bring seasons of storms into our life. And that we do need to really appreciate the times that there aren't storms, because I will tell you this, they're coming. They're coming. And we need to be ready for them and to be faithful through them so God gets all the glory. But they can be lonely. John says in his account that they were 3 to 4 miles out into the sea. And if you look at the Sea of Galilee, that's about center point. That's about halfway from where they were wanting to go. So here they are, they in this storm, they see nothing but sea. I'm telling you, the visibility in a storm like this, you can't hardly see a thing. And not only that, folks, but get this, it was at night. And folks, they don't have navigation lights like we have now. They don't have spotlights, waterproof spotlights. They're in pitch black, folks. These disciples are out there with waves crashing over them, boat being tossed, wind blowing against them where they're wanting to go, and it's at night and they can't see a thing. I want to tell you, sometimes storms in life feel that way. You feel like you're all alone. You feel like you don't know where you're going. You feel like everything's working against you. And it was a frightening place. It was a lonely place. It was a humbling place. They were in a place, if you notice there in Mark, I had you, put your place there in the book of Mark chapter 6, and notice verse number 48. Again, same account here. Same account. It says here, and he saw them, Jesus saw them, and we'll talk about them here in a minute, more in a minute, but he saw them toiling and rowing when the wind was contrary unto them. These were expert fishermen. They were experts at navigating. They were experts at seamanship and being out there on the water. But right now, that's not really doing them much good. And many times what storms will do, storms will humble us and show us our great need for God, even when we are proficient and strong in certain areas. And I want to tell you, just in case you hadn't figured this out yet, as believers, when we get to the point where we think we got it, you can pretty much guarantee there is a storm on the way. God has a way of humbling us with the storms of life. And the Lord does that to keep us dependent upon Him. But here's another thing that I think is interesting about storms is that they are temporal. They are temporal. You'll notice that this storm, if you count up the hours, it wasn't that long. Maybe 7-8 hours that you could count on here. But Jesus is going to come out in the fourth watch. We know that's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. We'll mention more about that here in a minute. But they had been out there for a while. But I want to tell you, it probably felt like an eternity. And anybody here that's currently going through a storm, or just coming out of one or going into one, I want to tell you, there's one thing that I've noticed about storms. They feel like they're never going to end. It's like, oh, you don't see any hope. I was counseling one brother the other day. I can't remember who it was. Actually, I just remember this conversation. But I was like, you know, be looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. He said, well, I will. But he said, I'm still trying to find the tunnel. And sometimes, folks, that's the way life can be when we go through storms. But I want to tell you, God's teaching us some things about Himself through this. We see that they are temporal because we understand that God says, if you're taking notes, you can put 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, because Paul even said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's only for a moment, folks. These trials that seem like they're lasting forever, it's only for a moment, and it says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Light affliction. It's temporal. But number 6 here, I want us to see they're also purposeful. God's got a purpose in the storm that you're in, and that I'm in, and that He brings us through. What is the purpose of storms? If you're taking notes, I'd like to give you several things here. What are the purpose of storms? Because there's no doubt they are purposeful. Number one, I would like to submit to you that the first purpose is to show our weakness. Again, as I mentioned, these fishermen were confident in their abilities. And God needed to show them that, yes, you need to be thankful for your abilities. You need to use your abilities, but don't be confident in your abilities. That's not going to help you accomplish the will of God if you don't realize that, number one, your confidence has to be in Him. And so He's going to show the weakness here and again, showing them that. But number two, I believe it is to, the second purpose is to test our resolve. You say, well, how does that go along with number one, showing us our weakness? Well, I do believe that the Lord is wanting to see us make at least a choice of the will and effort. Okay? Not putting confidence in the flesh, but he wants us to see, he wants to see some want to. I mean, God's people, and I'll raise my hand on this, a lot of times what we're lacking for the spiritual walk is the want to. I told the men at the potter's house the other day, as I was preaching, I said, men, this potter's house is not going to do you a bit of good. You could have the greatest preachers in the world come here. You could have the greatest counselors in the world come in here. You can have the greatest facilities, the greatest tools, and all these different things. But if you don't have the want to, it's not going to work. And when we're going through the storms of life, there has to be a want to go through this and let God teach me what He's teaching me. If we go through storms rebelling and having the pity party and why me and I'm not going through this, I want to tell you, we're never going to learn what God is wanting to teach. There needs to be some resolve. I want to show you this. Go over with me back to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6, back in there in that passage. Look there, if you would. I'm going to read verses 47 and 48 again. I think this is very interesting to note. I'm going to read again verses 47 and 48. It says here, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And get this, and he," that's Jesus, "alone on the land." All right, verse 48. "He's alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night," that's that 3 to 6, "he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them." And we'll get to more here in just a minute, but I want to notice here, look, Jesus was watching them. Jesus was watching them from where he was alone. God, you may not feel or sense that God is with you in this storm, but I'm telling you, he is. He may not be giving you deliverance at this very moment, but he is with you. His eyes are on you. And I believe that even that time of prayer when he was alone and he's praying for these disciples, he's praying that they would grow to trust God and to not lean on their own understanding, but to trust the Lord. And I also believe that Jesus, as he was there praying for them, he was watching to see how they would respond. And you know, I do believe many times we look for the easy way out when we find ourselves at the end of our rope. But my friends, can I tell you this from my experience, which isn't a whole lot. Some of you can give much more experience than me. But when we are at the end of our rope, that's where God shows up in a very real way. He's there all alone. But what he is wanting us to do is to get us to the end of our rope. And when we, listen up please, when we go through life seeking to always be on top and always be the strongest and always never be at the end of ourselves, you know what? That can be indicative of a prideful life. When we're not willing to be broken over the things in our life, when we're not willing to let God humble us and show us our blind spots and to show us our weaknesses. No, God wants to get us to that point, and that's where he can show up and say, okay, you're going to be dependent upon me now. You're going to trust me now. You're going to stop trying to do this and you're on your own in your flesh. And it's a test of our resolve. But not only is it a test of our resolve, but thirdly, it is to grow our faith. It is to grow our faith. Jesus shows up. And he shows up there and back in our passage of Matthew chapter number 14. Look what the Lord does here. When he shows up, it says here, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them." If you underline your Bible, that would be a good one, because that is I believe that is a truth that we need to understand, that God Almighty always shows up at the perfect time. He came in at the fourth watch, was that 3 to 6, which to them was the wrong time because he was late. You ever feel like God's late? God is never late, church. He's never late. Listen, He's always on time. He is the Almighty Sovereign God, and He knows the perfect and precise time to enter in upon your storm and to show His mighty deliverance. But until then, you wait for Him by faith, because that's going to grow your faith. When you don't see Him, you see, faith is expecting God to show up every time. Faith is expecting God to show up every time. And my friends, when we get that truth embedded into our hearts and minds, it will help us through the storms of life. That although this ain't my time, Lord, if it was my time, you would have been here last month, last year. Lord, you'd have been here a long time ago if it was on my time. But it's coming to the point where saying, Lord, I know you're going to show yourself at the most perfect time. But right now, you got me at the end of my rope. And Lord, whatever reason you're doing that, Lord, I want to trust you. What happens next is pretty amazing. It says here that as they were toiling away, and then at the fourth watch, they see Jesus walking on the sea. The water walker, the man God, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Savior. Here He comes, walking on the water, showing Himself visibly. Now, one of the things I want us to see here is that when Jesus shows up here, they were not expecting Him. They were not expecting Him to show up. Now, again, I can't blame them. I mean, just the human instinct. You're in the moment. You're in the storm. All the elements are raging. And you're just thinking about, am I going to live through this? And is Jesus just going to appear out of nowhere? Well, He does. He shows up, and I don't know if they were expecting Him. It doesn't appear to be, because when they saw Him, it terrified them. You ever heard a grown man cry out like a girl? Has anybody ever heard a grown man cry like a girl? Yes, my daddy. Yep, I can see some of you. Yeah, I have. I surely have. You talking about scared? These men out here, these salty fishermen, tough apostles, out there getting tossed to and fro. And what do they see in the distance? They thought it was a ghost. And the Bible says they said, ah! I'm pretty sure that could be translated that way. I mean, what in the world is this? And of course, one of them pipes up, it's a ghost. That's what they said. It's a ghost. I remember one time, I probably shouldn't tell this, but one time when I heard a grown man cry, I say grown man, he was about 19, 20 years old. He was a dorm mate of mine. And he was absolutely, and I mean to the extreme, he was terrified of snakes. And I don't really like snakes, but I'm not extremely terrified. I don't have a phobia like this brother did, and I love him, and I think I scarred him for life. But what I did is I knew we had told him that day, and I know this wasn't good either, but we were kidding. We told this brother that, look, there's somebody that caught a snake and got loose in the dorm room. He's like, yeah, right. He's not falling for that. Yeah, right, guys. So what we had planned, though, is just to get it on his mind. He didn't fall for it or whatnot. But what I had done is I had taken a rubber snake and tied a fishing line to it. I was in his dorm. I was across. And what I'd done when he wasn't there, he was at work, I took that fishing line and that rubber snake and I put it underneath his covers on his bunk. And I dropped the snake down on the other side. And when I knew where the line was. And so when we turned off the lights out was like 10 or 11 p.m. I was going to just go over there and grab that string and just start slowly pulling it. Was that mean? So, what happened next, I'll never forget. So we go to the lights out, and I start pulling that thing, and all of a sudden I hear, ah! And I see covers go everywhere, and this brother goes out of the dorm. He runs out. And I didn't hear profanity in Bible college until that day. I'm just kidding. He was letting us have it. I can't believe you crazy guys. I'm going to kill you, you know. But it was, yeah, that was good. I'll never forget that. I know it's coming back on me too. I do know he's going to come back and get me one day. But that indeed was a terrifying, frightening scare that he had, a scream that he had. And I believe these disciples had a similar scream going on here, a similar scare. But God quickly encourages them when he says this. Notice in your Bible, when they were scared and they cried out for fear, verse 27, it says, immediately or straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, God was calming their fears. The mighty God does that. And if you're going through a storm right now, just let God's voice through His Word comfort you. And take that message from God this morning saying this right here. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Almighty God is with you. And I want to see there was a great growth of faith in this moment. Because look what happens next. Notice with me. Verse number 28. And Peter answered him when Jesus made that statement and said, Lord, if thou bid me come out unto thee unto the water. He says, tell me to come out into the water. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen, we give Peter a hard time about sinking. I want to tell you, at least he got out of the boat. In fact, we give a hard time about Peter denying the Lord Jesus. And he was wrong for denying Jesus, but you know what? He was at least the closest one to get caught. We don't think about that. Where were all those other ones? At least he was close enough and we give Peter a hard time. But Peter was, his faith was strengthened at that moment. He said, Almighty God, it's you. And if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. And he stepped out and he is the only human that we know of besides Jesus Christ himself who walked on water. And although it didn't last but for a moment, because again, he got his eyes on the elements. He got his eyes on the elements, the outward wind, waves. He took his eyes off Christ. And I want to tell you, in this storm, you and I have got to keep our eyes on Christ. Once you remove your eyes from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to sink. Just step out. Let God mold you and make you and stretch your faith like never before. And you're going to see the mighty power of God. The storm brought about a step of faith that truly empowered a man to walk on water. And what God is wanting us to do to show Himself in the storm is amazing. And so therefore, brethren, we got to understand that the storm is really good for us. Don't buck the storm. Don't complain about the storm. Let God have His way. I just recently listened to a song that I think I'd heard it at one time, but it just really ministered to my heart. And it's called Through It All. And this is one part of that song. It says, I thank God for the mountains and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I'd never know the faith. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And you see, the Lord brings you what you're going through right now or have been through or will be going through so that He can show you what faith in Him can do. Because otherwise you wouldn't see it. Otherwise you wouldn't know it. And my friends, we see here that God will grow our faith through the storms. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. Hey, your faith is being tried. My faith is being tried every day. And what we need to do is to take the comfort and the encouragement, exhortation from the Word of God and to remain faithful, because it will be found to be good when Jesus comes again. It will pay off, my friend. But as we come into a closing here, I want us to notice also that it was purposeful in rekindling worship. Notice verse number 33. After this great occurrence of Peter stepping out by faith, but then he began to sink, God rescued him and they got into the boat. And he asked Peter, of course, why'd you start doubting? You should have kept your eyes on me. And then when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And notice verse number 33. Please don't miss this. And when they were in the ship, came and worshipped him. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Church, the purpose of the storms in our life is to rekindle our worship in awe of the Almighty. When you go through these type of storms and you're at the end of the rope, and you cry out to God, and God is always faithful, and God always shows up at the right time, it rekindles a desire just to fall on our knees and just say, oh God, thank you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You are mighty. You are merciful. I worship you, God. Thank you for this storm. Thanking you for showing your power. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, dear God. And that's exactly what happened in that boat. It was a worship service. Those disciples fled to the feet of the Son of God. And the other accounts, if you read them, said they were just amazed. They adored Him. They were in awe. And my friends, if the storms of your life are not bringing you to an awe of God, then you're not letting them have its work in you. Let the storms do its purpose and bringing you to a rekindling of your worship of Him. And then I want to draw your attention to the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 52. Not only to show our weakness and to test our resolve and grow our faith and to rekindle our worship, but notice with me also to soften our hearts. Notice with me verse 51. It says here in Mark's account that when Jesus spoke to them, He went unto them into the ship and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. There's the worship service. But notice what He says to these men on the boat. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Church, the storms of life will help our hearts be softened, tenderized, so God can speak to us and God can change us. And if we got hard hearts, we're not going to be able to grow in our faith and be able to go through the storms faithfully. But if God will let God just tenderize us and make us super sensitive and be broken and thankful, I'm telling you, Almighty God will fulfill His purpose in our lives. The storms are tough. They're scary. They're dark. They're frightening. They're humbling. They're temporal, thank God. But they're purposeful. You know, as I was out there on that Lake Jocassee as a dad, I want to tell you I was really humbled. Because I want to tell you, in all honesty and seriousness, I felt really bad. I'm like, what have I done here? Here I have got my family. We're about to be washed up on this bank. This boat's going to be destroyed. My children could be hurt and injured. I don't know. Of course, they all got their life jackets on. And I want to tell you, hey, listen, don't, there's a reason they make it a law for you to have a whistle on your boat, okay? I had the whistle. I did remember that, folks, okay? But I got the whistle, and I'm just blowing frantically. I'm blowing as loud as I can. No boat in sight. I'm just praying. We all stop and prayed, and then I'll just blow the whistle again. I'm just praying, God, please let somebody hear this whistle. Well, lo and behold, here comes around another cove, two wave runner Sea-Doos, okay? And they were flying. I mean, they were going full speed. And I'm blowing the whistle, and we're waving our arms, and man, I'm just saying, please, Lord, let them see us. And it doesn't look like they're going to see us, but when they get to a certain point, I think one of them catches us, and then he signals to the other guy, and they do come over. So, thankfully, they came over, and I said, look, my boat's down, I don't know what's going on, but now I'm afraid because these guys, I mean, I like a boat towing me, not a wave runner. Here I am, a family. I'm thinking, man, this isn't going to work. This guy's Sea-Doo. This isn't going to be sufficient. The rope and everything. It's just, wow, how's this going to happen? Well, I want to tell you, by the mercy of God, this man in his grace said, look, let's try it. He hooked up the rope I had to his Sea-Doo, and the other guy just took off and went back to the boat ramp just in case something happened to both of us. He could go and get some help. But what happened is we got, and it was not going well. I mean, we were tied up, but the waves were so big. I'm talking 6-foot swells easily out here on Lake Jocassee. And the boat was rocking, man. The rope would snap. A couple times I thought it was going to break, and here we go, up and down, snap. And it was interesting the whole time. Of course, we're all kind of covering up with towels and stuff because the rain's just pelting us in the face. And we're trying to hold up towels over the kids. And it was funny during this, as a side note, Caroline is absolutely sound asleep the whole time. She's knocked out. She is oblivious of what's going on. Now, the other two are just covered up, and they're just trying to stay warm. They're shivering and whatnot, and thinking that Dad has brought us out here to kill us. And so we're going, and we get back, and we do make it safely. Thank God he gets us back to the boat ramp. And, man, that was – I don't have time to tell that story, but then it even got more adventurous because of what was going on at the boat ramp, a bunch of chaos. But nevertheless, we got there safely. We got tied up. We got loaded up, and I tell you, that guy that helped us, I was just so very thankful. He got us all the way there. It took probably about 45 minutes, what normally would have taken five. It took us 45 minutes. Am I about right? 45 minutes. And we got there, but man, he got his boat out of the water. I said, man, I got to give you a hug, man. I got to give you a hug. And I gave him a hug, and I asked him, I said, and I wasn't kidding either, folks. I asked him this. I said, are you an angel? And he kind of laughed. He said, I don't think so. And then I found out he was a Gamecock fan, and I knew he wasn't an angel. But with all seriousness, I give him a hard time, but you know what? I just happen to have a bright orange Clemson shirt on with the big paw right there on the center, and I'm sitting here waving, you know, and here's this Gamecock fan. He comes up, he said, if it wasn't for the children, I would have kept going. I'll never forget that. But folks, take the message from our Savior this morning. Be not afraid. It is I. Be of good cheer. Let's pray.